Show, everybody. It's Cairo Nights. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope you're doing okay. We're going to talk to Stacey Joe about Drew Brees, quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, said some things that upset some people, got a lot of backlash. Going to talk about it in just a second. But, you know, first, I do have to say that Seattle Sports at Night is powered by Star Rentals, the preferred supplier of the West's best contractors. Stacey's on, turn up the microphone. She's talking sports, so you're about to learn a ton. At 8:33, she hangs out with Mike and me. And you look from the song that now the time of Stacey's on. What do you know, Stacey Joe?
Hello. Lot of things. Can I tell you, this is so unrelated to what we're about to talk about. Mm-hmm. It just came to me when you said that.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking today. We had Rick Riz on, voice of the Mariners. Love
Solid.
Him so much.
Me
he
too.
Was talking about the Sandlot and how he felt like his life was basically the Sandlot growing up. And he was like, I'm not kidding you. Like, there was even the dog and everything. And we all grew up playing baseball. And so we end the interview. And my co-host Tom Wassel goes, you know what? Like, that had to be every kid's life, even if you're growing up years later. Tom goes, I mean, I grew up in the 80s. And I remember, like, all of us kind of playing baseball and playing games outside. And Jake chimes in, yeah, I grew up in the 90s and 2000s. Jake was born in, like, 92 or something. Ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
And he says the same thing. And then it gets to me. And I'm like, I grew up on a road without kids.
Oh,
I
no.
hung out by myself.
Stace.
I drew pictures of birds.
I read in my room.
I read in my room. I did. I read in my room. I met a cat. It was pathetic.
Oh, I never. I played.
I just took a lot of L's.
I played. Yeah, that's show. Hey, sometimes, you know, some days are like that. You just gotta.
You gotta take the L and just roll with it, and
right.
you come back another day. You
and
know,
and stronger for it, might I add.
Stronger, exactly.
We're gonna talk about something important. But before we do that, I want to talk about something that's not at all important. And Stacey, I can only assume you've heard. Carol got the zoo.
I know. I know we have other things to talk about.
We do.
But Carol, in the end, it worked.
Okay.
It worked. She got the zoo.
Okay. For those of you,
you want
who
to explain it?
Yes. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Tiger King, shocking. And no spoilers here, because here's the thing about Tiger King. Even if you are told every single thing that happens, it is impossible to spoil because the way it unfolds, the way all those things happen, will just blow your mind. Joe Exotic is in prison for attempting to murder Carol Baskins, his arch nemesis. And because of the lawsuit that Carol won, Carol runs a not necessarily competing, but she runs a big animal rescue thing too. She calls it a rescue. It's really just a zoo that shouldn't exist.
But and neither here nor there.
Neither here nor there. There's
but
way more going on.
We're just saying.
So because of this lawsuit that Joe Exotic took their trademarks and their fonts and their mm-hmm. images and basically mm-hmm. stole them and put them out as his own to make people think that there was confusion in the marketplace, as it were. So Joe Exotic owes her like $1 million. He can't pay it. And so this week it was decided that, well, then if you can't pay up that fine, then Carol gets your zoo.
She got it.
She got
Can I ask you something, Aaron?
Yeah.
I want you to answer honestly with your whole heart.
Okay.
Did Carol do it?
100%. There's no question in my mind.
No doubt in your mind.
No doubt in my mind.
The question that I'm asking is the Joe Exotic accused Carol Baskin of murdering her missing husband.
Right. Her husband who disappeared and was never found.
We literally were asking Seahawks players about that. Like, we had our station, not our show, had Rasheem Green on, like, when Tiger King first came out. And
mm-hmm.
we were just asking players, like, do you think Carol did it?
Right. And how many?
Do you remember when 2020, all we could talk about was Tiger King? It is a more important time now, but also Tiger King.
It feels like 10 years ago.
We got to bookmark Carol getting the zoo and just come back to it at a more appropriate time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Follow up question: how many of the players that you interviewed did not think she did it?
100% thought she did. 100%.
100%.
Like. Exactly 0% of players were like, no, I think she's very innocent.
I'm telling you, man. That's crazy. 989-973 is the State Roofing text line. if you think that Carol Baskins is innocent, text in. I need to know. I haven't heard from anyone.
Need to know.
I haven't heard from anyone.
If you think that, like, I genuinely want you to tell me why.
Okay. All right. That's enough fun.
All right.
On to more serious things. Drew Brees,
yes.
The quarterback of the
yes.
New Orleans Saints, is in the news today. He made a statement that some folks did not agree with. And by some folks, I mean a lot of people in the sports world, LeBron James, mm-hmm. Michael Thomas, who, as far as I understand it, is his wide receiver on the Saints and a very good one, right?
Yes, the best wide receiver in the league last year.
Wow.
Broke multiple NFL records.
Okay, so I have the audio here. It's about a minute and a half long. Here is a guy named Daniel Roberts. He works for Yahoo Finance, and he's interviewing Drew Brees and asks him a question. So here's the question and Drew's response to it.
Everyone is looking back now at Kaepernick's protests from a few years ago, and obviously they were always about police brutality, and now it's coming back to the fore, and a lot of people expect that we will see players kneeling again even when the NFL season starts. I'm curious how you think the NFL will and should respond to that, and of course, you're such a leader in the league. What is your responsibility as a leader in times like this for the rest of your teammates and players in the league?
Well, I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place. So every time I stand with my hand over my heart, looking at that flag and singing the national anthem, that's what I think about. And in many cases, it brings me to tears, thinking about all that has been sacrificed, not just those in the military, but for that matter, those throughout the civil rights movements of the 60s and everyone and all that has been endured by so many people up until this point. And is everything right with our country right now? No, it's not. We still have a long way to go. But I think what you do by standing there and showing respect to the flag with your hand over your heart is it shows unity. It shows that we are all in this together. We can all do better, and then we are all part of the solution.
What do you say, Stace?
I think that one of the biggest problems with this argument is that it completely overlooks the argument that Colin Kaepernick was trying to make.
Mm-hmm.
It was never about the flag.
Right.
It wasn't a protest of the flag. It wasn't a protest of the military. It wasn't a protest of the U.S. It was a protest of the unequal treatment that millions of Americans, in particular, millions of Black Americans face. And I think that people often willfully were ignorant to that. I think that people got mad about the flag and the national anthem being kind of the setting of his protest mm-hmm. because they didn't want to look at the other truth of it. And even now, people will say, like, well, why not protest peacefully? And it's like, well, that's exactly what Colin Kaepernick was doing.
Right.
Okay, so protest maybe not during the national anthem, maybe off the field. Okay, well, millions of Black Americans have done that throughout history, and yeah, you got like a Civil Rights Act passed, but like there's still institutionalized racism. There's still blatant racism.
Right.
I mean, there's still racism all over the country. And like
in Seattle, in super liberal Seattle, you know?
Oh, redlining? I mean, it's a problem everywhere.
Yeah.
And the idea that that was the wrong way to call for change just because it
annoyed you
during the national anthem,
right.
Because it annoyed you is, I think, being willfully ignorant of what it is that Colin Kaepernick and many other people are protesting, which is the unequal treatment of Black Americans, people of color, but in particular Black Americans in this country. And that shouldn't be controversial.
Right.
And if you still see it as him protesting the flag, you're really missing the message.
Yeah.
And not only that, but I think one of the things I've really struggled with has been the equating of different issues that people have. For me, racism and police brutality and all of the consequences that come with that, which are far-reaching and generational. It could be policies that keep African Americans from owning homes, mm-hmm. redlining, like I said, in Seattle, that mm-hmm. keeps generational wealth from establishing itself. It could be limited representation at large companies and universities. It could be health issues that disproportionately affect African American communities because of that. And to say that that is, yeah, that bothers me, I'm against racism, but also what about this? Those things just aren't equally bad.
Yeah.
Sorry, but let's get the racism thing figured out. Like, let's talk about that. Let's have a conversation about that. And let's face it, particularly white Americans, before you start to muddy the waters with other things that bother you, you have to uncenter yourself at the end of the day. Uncenter yourself. It's not about you right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's very difficult for a lot of people. Drew said when he was talking about his grandparents and how they fought for our rights, for to make this country a better place, this country in the world, I believe he said, a better place. That's exactly what's going on right now. That's exactly what Colin Kaepernick was doing. Your grandfathers fought for his right to do exactly what he was doing. Whether or not they agreed with it, whether or not you agree with it, that's what makes America America. Free speech. People can see an injustice, they can see something that they don't like, and they can express that peacefully, you know, and that's exactly what Kaepernick was doing. The idea of disrespect is insane to me because the part of the story that I just don't, I don't know why it's an issue at all, because when he initially started, what was he doing? He was sitting down. He was sitting on the bench. He didn't get up. And then Kaepernick asked members of the military.
Nate Boyer? It was a former former member of the military who was with the Seahawks, I think Nate Boyer.
Okay.
Who was briefly like a long snapper with them, who talked to Kaepernick, and he said, hey, how about instead of sitting, you kneel? So that suggestion came from a member of the armed forces.
Right. And Bree's referring to civil rights and the, you know, the 60s, 70s in this country. What do you think that was? Do you think that was a bunch of like Zoom calls and we all sit down and have a meal and peacefully discuss what's going on? No, it was people in the streets. It was disrupting the comfort of white people, frankly, who held all the power. And only until then, that disruption did their voices be heard. I hear white people all the time. I hear conservatives a lot, liberals a lot, you know, both sides say, why are you silencing my voice? People very frustrated with the fact that their thoughts, their opinions aren't heard. They feel like they're being kept quiet for one reason or another. Yeah, that's real frustrating. Now, put that on the protesters. Put that on African-Americans in this country.
Imagine how that would feel every day of your life.
All the time. Every day for generations and generations. And I just, this is pretty, I don't know, tone deaf. I think Drew Brees is a good dude.
I think it just needs to be a learning thing.
Right.
Like, he's just not there. That's the thing. I think a lot of people saying things are good people who, when I was in college, we talked about like different types of racism, and mm-hmm. one could be benevolent racism, meaning like in doing what you think is the right thing, you're silencing oppressed voices,
mm-hmm.
and you don't think you're doing it when you say something like all lives matter.
Mm-hmm.
What you're doing is ignoring the fact that too many powerful institutions, Black lives matter less. And there, I've seen a million and five analogies about it. And some of the very obvious ones are stuff like, imagine if a house was on fire and on a block and you called the fire department and someone was saying like, well, all houses matter. You know, this one isn't more important than the others. And you were like, yeah, but this one's on fire right now. Like,
right.
Yes, all lives do literally matter, but it completely ignores the context that's not how the world treats some lives. Some lives being not white lives, lives of people of color, in particular Black people.
It's not that only Black lives matter. That's not the statement.
And if you think all lives matter, you should have no problem thinking Black lives matter. And I think it's the same kind of thing with, again, going back to that benevolent kind of racism, no one wants to be called racist. I've had moments where I unintentionally said something that I thought was helpful or I thought was good, and I just had to be educated, and it's fine. You just, again, like, you can't be fragile about it. Just take the criticism and be better.
Right.
And, like, it's not... If you do a bad thing, it doesn't make you a bad person. Just correct your behavior and, like, listen and learn. And it's the same thing with being colorblind, right? To say, like, I'm colorblind, I don't see race. Well, if I'm a Black American and I'm hearing that and I'm like, really? Because I've been pulled over, or, like, I've been profiled, or little microaggressions, right? Really? Because I feel like I had a friend who, I hate to be anecdotal about this. My roommate, my freshman year of college, she's one of my friends now. When we lived together, we would do everything together because we were roommates. She would constantly get this kind of, like, you're an aggressive Black woman stereotype lobbed at her, to where it was like she couldn't even feel like at a school where the majority of students were white, she could just, like, politely ask someone, like, hey, you're sitting in our seats. They would act like she was being so aggressive and mean and bossy.
Right.
And even little things like that, like, I would do instead because it just carried a completely different reaction from people. That's a small microaggression that she had to deal with that I didn't, and I wasn't even aware of it until she would have to literally tell me, they will treat me like I am the worst for the rest of the night if I ask them a simple thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a completely separate issue. But again, there's, like, on top of there just being big things, there's tiny microaggressions that people have to deal with all the time, Black people have to deal with all the time. And to say you don't see color ignores a lot of that. And if I hear that, I'm thinking, like, well, the rest of the world does. So it also just really devalues Black culture. So I think that it's just, it's one of the things, I don't know about you and Mike, whether you've had conversations like this with listeners via our text lines, but I feel like that's what I've been doing for the last couple of days. And I don't know everything. I'm still learning things all the time, but it's those kinds of conversations with people about, like, hey, I totally get where you're coming from with this. I get why you think this is the right way to do it. Here's how I have learned how to do it. What do you think about this?
Yes.
Or is that kind of what you guys have been experiencing?
It is. I am petrified. I am scared every day to talk about this stuff. And I know that I'm talking to, and I know there's a diverse audience that listens to Cairo, but there's a big conservative segment. Maybe most are conservative, as goes talk radio, typically commercial talk radio. And judging from responses we get on the website and the text line, that's a lot of conservative stuff. So I get hit with junk all the time. And I'm scared not only to have to talk about this stuff in front of people who vehemently disagree with me, but also, am I saying the right thing? I don't know. I'm learning this as we go. And you really have to put yourself out there, be vulnerable, take the risk, and say, okay, well, I'm just going to do my best. I'm going to say what I'm hearing, what I'm learning, what I think now. And if I get corrected, I don't take offense at that. I don't get mad at that. I hear it, I internalize it, and I process it and try and be a better person. Well, Stace.
Yeah.
That's all the time we have.
It is.
I know.
I mean, we can get back to Carolyn the Zoo at another time. I do think it's important conversation.
Oh,
like
we
I
will.
Said, there are some conversations right now that are not as important. Carol with the Zoo is one of those, but I'm just going to go ahead and blah, 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 lick my fingers and dog ear that page table that. We're going to get back to it.
100%.
We've got some thoughts. Why don't we wait until Mike is back? Because I know that he loves Tiger King.
It's his favorite. Yeah. He likes it more than The Last Dance.
Thanks, Aaron.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. That's Stacey. You can hear her on the Tom, Jake, and Stacey Show on 710 ESPN every day from noon to 3. And we will be back with more Cairo Nights right after this. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Cairo Nights. Mason Mike, although Mike's not here tonight, he's got the evening off. Filling in for Mike Lewis is the world-famous Jack Stein. What's up, Jack?
I got to say that Stacey, Joe, and I would probably have a lively discussion about the term microaggression and what that actually means.
Mm-hmm. Did you get triggered? Did you get triggered?
A little bit when people make a statement. Now, she's not here to defend herself,
right?
And I've never met Stacey, Joe, so I consider myself to be a classy gentleman. And I refuse to cast any aspersions with someone who's not present to defend themselves. But God, that term is just so, it's a little 2015, little 2016 nowadays.
Hey, we got room for opinions here. on Cairo Nights. A little bit of breaking news. The Seattle curfew has been lifted. I got an emergency alert on my cell phone just moments ago. It says the city of Seattle curfew, scheduled to run tonight through Saturday morning, is being lifted. Protesters may continue peaceful demonstrations. Sent this from the Seattle Emergency Operations Center. Yep. Frank Shires.
Yeah.
What do you got for us?
You just did the story. What do you want? What do you want to know? Past.
What do you want to know?
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, why am I here exactly? The reason they did it is because community leaders were worried that protesters were going to be arrested mm-hmm. for violating the curfew. None have been. None were likely to be. But the mayor and the police chief listened, and they said, okay, fine. They'll get rid of it. So what's interesting about this is the impact of this, Aaron, because here's what I can tell you as a guy working in the news department for the last, four nights now, because mm-hmm. I was here Sunday night, too. Mm-hmm. The pattern each night to the protests has been exactly the same. This mm-hmm. is night number three this week. The protesters arrive up on Capitol Hill about a block away from, well, I don't even know if it's a block away from what is called the East Precinct,
mm-hmm.
East
yeah.
Seattle Precinct,
yeah.
next to Cal Anderson Park. They've been, I think it's 12th or 11th, one of
yeah.
the two that
yep.
they've been. And at this time of the night, there have been thousands of them. I would say probably we were hearing 7,000 people. Okay, what's happened each night is exactly the same. They get up there. The curfew obviously is long gone.
Mm-hmm.
And they refuse to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, the police have said, it's done. You need to go.
Mm-hmm.
But what really happened is, and we got reports of this, we found the Monday was the most egregious example of this, where the cops fired tear gas and flashbangs and everything into the crowd, and it was not until yesterday that we were told, both by Carmen Best and also by the Seattle Police Officers Guild president, that an officer got hit in the face with a piece of concrete
mm-hmm.
that badly injured him.
Mm-hmm.
Another officer broke her ankles. Several officers were injured. People are throwing rocks, pieces of concrete, and frozen bottles of water.
Mm-hmm.
So you have them all dressed up in riot gear,
yep.
right, the coppers.
Yep.
And you have they're backed up by the State Patrol, who also are all racked up.
Yep.
And so you had a standoff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, a little more than a standoff. Yeah.
So what happened last night? About by 11:30 last night, I watched this thing on Twitter.
Yeah, I did too.
Okay, you know that most of the protesters had disbanded
mm-hmm.
by about 11:30.
Mm-hmm.
They were down to a couple of hundred.
Yeah,
it was like no story here on Cairo 7 television. I watched them and on Twitter. What I don't know how late did you watch?
I don't know exactly, but pretty late.
So did you see?
I mean, maybe 1-2 in the morning.
Did you see the excitement then that happened?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I missed it.
Okay.
Because I watched until about 12:30, and it was like, okay.
Yeah.
So tonight, what's different is, what happened at about 12:40 or something, the cops made them disperse again, and mm-hmm. it was the same thing. Flashbangs, mm-hmm. tear gas, all that.
Yeah.
So the question is, tonight, what's going to happen? Cops going to walk away? No, they're not going to leave that precinct unprotected. Are they going to dissolve their line? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
None.
Yeah, I will say that this is, I think that the curfew has been used as a reason to call things off or to apply
correct
force.
That's exactly why.
And that is no longer a thing because the curfew has been lifted.
Right.
And so I do want to say, and from what I've seen all around the country, protesters who are there
mm-hmm.
peacefully exercising their First Amendment rights
mm-hmm.
are doing everything they can to tamp down the knuckleheads. And you're going to have knuckleheads in any group. There are mm-hmm. people who are grabbing things. I've seen video of a guy smashing up a curb and trying to take those broken
right.
pieces, and people just tackling the guy, protesters now,
yep.
Tackling the guy, and no, don't do that. So please, 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 this is not the time to give anyone an excuse to clamp down or to use any force. If you see any shenanigans going on, and this is just a message that I'm repeating that I see protesters saying on social media, people who are out there, if you see people pulling shenanigans, stop them. Stop them. We don't want to escalate any kind of a situation. This is something that needs to be peaceful. It needs to stay peaceful for both sides,
but here's
for the people protesting and for law enforcement.
But here's the difficulty you have, Aaron. One, you have a business district, right, which is up there, which needs to be protected by police.
Sure.
Two, you have that precinct that needs to be protected. They know for a fact that there was an effort to attack that precinct. That's not up for discussion.
Okay.
They know that's factual.
Okay.
So let's assume the cops pull back. Good on them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's assume that they simply, you know, take defensive positions to protect the things they need to protect.
Mm-hmm.
Does a protest just melt away? Do we even know? Do we know
well,
any
I don't think,
case where that happens?
I don't think it has to. I mean, you're seeing these protests are different from ones that I've seen in a lot of different ways.
Are you saying that they're going to continue until 5 or 6 in the morning?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
That's a long protest.
Yeah.
That's
inconsistent with how they've behaved nationwide.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't have a crystal ball. I can't tell you what's going to happen.
Nobody does.
But what I do know is that the escalation is the weak point, right? That when things get hairy,
when the cops think they're threatened,
right.
They're going to defend themselves, and they're going to get very aggressive about disbanding the group. Yes.
Right. And so it is on everyone out there to try and make sure that this doesn't happen. Don't give anyone an inch. Don't give anyone an excuse. As we've all seen, it doesn't take much. And one or, you know, a handful of bad actors can create real negative consequences for people who were not doing anything wrong.
Cops aren't going to have the excuse to use violent tactics tonight unless they are attacked.
Right.
That's the one exception because the curfew is gone.
Right.
Right?
Right. What do you think, Jack?
Well, so I know that, you know, you and I both agree that these are knuckleheads, these guys who go out and loot, and I think it's, you know, really disgusting when people loot. But there is people of the mind, or at least the political theory, that say, well, looting is an extension of what the protest is trying to demonstrate, which is that the police or the city, it's kind of a facade. And so when someone goes and they put a brick through a window and they steal a bunch of TVs, they're actually trying to demonstrate to everybody else, look at the fallacy that we deal with on a daily basis.
Yes.
Now, I'm not sure if I totally agree with that, but there are kind of leftist thinkers who do say that kind of quote-unquote violence is part of the protest. I disagree.
Yeah.
I
don't think it's...
To just call them knuckleheads, you know, it could be their way of expressing their rage.
Yeah, I don't think
it's... Even though I disagree with it.
I disagree with it. I don't think it's appropriate. Do I understand why someone would be upset that society is, and this is what I assume they're thinking, that society values property over a person, you know, or people, that the stuff, the value of the stuff in a store is worth more than their lives. Yeah, I understand that. I don't agree with it, but I do understand. I do understand it. It's messy out there. A lot of tension, a lot of emotions, you know, everything's running pretty high out there. So just everybody stay safe. I think that's the most important thing. We'll be back, everybody. More Cairo Nights after this. Welcome back to Cairo Nights, everybody. Little Steve Winwood for your Soft Rock Wednesday. Hope everyone's doing okay out there. In case you didn't hear, just moments ago, maybe, I don't know, 20 minutes ago or so, the city of Seattle lifted its curfew. So the curfew is no longer in place. Please, anyone who's out there, remain peaceful. And if you see anyone, the knuckleheads, I'm apparently calling them now. Now, if you see any knuckleheads out there, squash them. Stamp it. Stamp that down. Get them out of there. Don't give law enforcement any excuse to escalate an already elevated situation. It's time for What's on Your Mind. It's the end of the show. We go around the horn, tell you what's on our mind. You can tell us. 98973 is the State Roofing text line. I can tell you right now what's on the text line's mind, besides a lot of... I haven't been looking at the text line the last couple days very often. You know, segments where we use the text line, I'll check in, but I just really had to, you know, to shut it down for a moment. And I've been checking in today, and I gotta say, this is what's on my mind. The support from the text line has been outstanding.
Well, great!
Wow, and really meant a lot to me. You know, the text line has a history of being awful and mean. And that's fine. I mean, this is the business I'm in. That's fine. I put myself out there. I expect some of that. I know, Jack. Shocking. But Jack Stein filling in for Mike Lewis, by the way. And there's a lot of people out there texting in some really heartfelt stuff, really thoughtful stuff, you know, having a dialogue here. And I just want to say I really appreciate it. One of the big things that people are saying, and I've gotten them all night long, is they're going to miss DB. This is DB's last week.
Bank.
On the show. He is moving down to Portland, Oregon, and away from me, and I will miss him.
I'll miss everyone as well, very much so.
Yeah. Jack Stein, let's go with you. What's on your mind, buddy?
I have been hearing this weird kind of... everybody agrees that the George Floyd killing was horrible and awful.
Yeah.
But I'm hearing some kind of... this kind of revisionist history that's going on, and I'll call it the Rodney King argument or the American History X argument, where people have been saying to me, well, who are you to decide that that was excessive force? Mm-hmm. Who are you to, you're not a cop, you don't know what excessive force is, so on and so forth. And I find it frustrating. It's been on my mind all day because someone wrote me a very long email about how what I said about it was incorrect. And my response to that is if you were to just sit and watch, not that I recommend that people do this, but if you sit and watch the full 8-minute video, I don't know if there's a person on this planet who would watch that and go, well, who are you to say that that was, you know, I think everybody can agree just by the visual of it, that it's excessive. And because of that, I think that maybe that puts this idea more on notice, that because it's filmed, that it needs to be paid attention to in a way that others have not been. It requires it because now we actually see it. It's not right. This abstract thing. Now it's there for, unfortunately, it's there for you to view it. So this kind of revisionist history thing I'm finding to be troubling. And it's been on my mind. Been on my mind, Aaron Mason.
Cool. How about you, Frank?
Tonight, earlier, over in Bellevue, Chief Milette, reported to the city council over there, and actually we've been recording it, on what happened Sunday. Of course, I was there in the middle of the looting and saw everything, had my cell phone taken by a rioter.
Mm-hmm.
And what Milette said, and I thought this has been on my mind, and having been there, he said the people that were there that did that, some of them were paid. They were not from the city. They drove from other areas. They were very organized.
Mm-hmm.
They specifically targeted Bellevue Square and the Bravern, and some of them were actually paid to break windows.
Mm.
I mean, and that they knew this was coming. What Milette said was a few hours before it happened, they knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff just really concerns me,
sure,
given with what we're seeing each night.
Yeah. DB?
Yeah, I'm not going to touch any of that, but it is my last Soft Rock Wednesday.
Yeah.
And for a segment, that, or for a day, I guess, of the week that I really did not think I was going to like when you and G first started it, Aaron, I got to say, it's brought about quite a great many songs in my, yes, in my now repertoire of playlists.
Yes.
Cool.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Lots of love from the text line right now, DB. Few people hearing it for the first time, saying good luck. They love you. They're going to miss you. Dang, that hurts. Miss you, D-Money, says 425. Thanks, Jack Stein, the world-famous Jack Stein, filling in for Mike Lewis tonight. It's been a pleasure, man. Always. We'll be back, folks. For Jack Stein, Frank Shires, DB, I'm Aaron Mason. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.